Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zurian Show. And as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for us, we're doing fine. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a treat. We have a gentleman that is a, I guess you can say he's a connoisseur when it comes to security consulting, advising, and helping people to understand their needs. And when I say their needs, I'm talking about on a professional level as far as his ability to be able to consult in the areas of security for different companies. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Mr. Jay Hodge. Mr. Jay Hodge is a hard-charging retiree from the federal government and has worked in many different arenas as a special assistant to the special assistant inspector, I think I said that right, to the General Investigation, or the AIG, for the United States Department of Health and Human Services Office. He worked there as an inspector general's office. And again, he has over 20-something years of experience in that arena in taking care of our nation and our government and helping them to meet their security needs. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't remember us hearing anything bad about that particular agency having anything, and I think it's because they have phenomenal individuals like Jay in their arena. But anyway, Jay, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, thank you again for that very kind and warm introduction. And I think you pretty much summed it up pretty quickly in terms of my career. I just finished up 27 years in federal law enforcement, as you indicated. I actually started my federal career with the U.S. Department of State and the Diplomatic Security Service, where I spent some time out on the West Coast and then transferred back to Washington and did some time with the Secretary of State's Protection Detail. Spent a few years there, and as most civil servants do at some point throughout their federal careers, they transfer agencies, and I did that and went on to the U.S. Department of Commerce, where I was asked to come in and really put together their executive protection program and ran that for 3 years, and then moved on to U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the Office of Inspector General. I actually started out doing executive protection when I first got there, and over the years worked my way up through the management ranks. And like you said, I finished up as the Assistant Inspector General for investigations in the IG's office. And in that role, I had oversight of healthcare fraud investigations throughout the eastern United States, and I also oversaw a number of our headquarters operations, executive protection, training, and our administration and budget office. And finally made the decision it was time to move on and jumped into the private sector. Probably head first instead of feet first, but it's been exciting as I've been working diligently over the last 8 months or so to get my company up and running. And really my goal here is to, you know, be able to return the knowledge that I've accumulated over, again, 27 years in federal government, and I had some prior experience in private security and local law enforcement before that, and you know, I just want to give back what I've learned. I want to help, you know, residential clients and small businesses kind of meet their needs when it comes to safety and security. So that kind of surmises, you know, my 30-year history.
Outstanding. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that Jay is being really humble when he speaks to us today, but he's also been interviewed on ABC, on CNBC, and a bunch of other channels and throughout the United States, and he's been consulted on different other major events that a lot of us know about and probably quite a few that some of us don't know about. And the areas that he touches on is HIPAA, the risk analysis is one of the things that you do, also small business security assessments, residential security assessments and evaluations, and just the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, you've kind of done it all. So could you tell us a little bit more about how you're able to help your clients and, of course, about your company?
Yeah, you know, I always like to start off with, you know, what, you know, I do, and it's really about risk mitigation. So I always like to use a very simple definition of what risk mitigation is, and it's really steps taken to control or prevent a hazard from causing harm and to reduce risk to a tolerable or acceptable level. And I really concentrate on the last half of that sentence. It's to reduce risk to a tolerable or acceptable level. I think that, you know, you can never 100%, you know, eliminate total risk or total vulnerabilities. But, you know, the goal here is to get as close as you can. So I try and use a common sense approach. And, you know, I use the word sense kind of two way, that it doesn't always have to be an expensive proposition to bring a security consultant in to assist a small business. And, you know, on the sense side of it is, it's just, you know, applying some best practices to really get, you know, either my residential clients or small businesses where they need to be. You know, kind of this proactive mindset when it comes to security and safety.
Okay. Well, again, I know that a lot of us need it, and I know especially small businesses and a lot of personal, you know, people don't understand some of the security issues that come up for them personally, be it whether they work for a company, whether they work for another agency. I know that sometimes the weakest link is the individuals, and the same thing for companies. So I can appreciate your service.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think, you know, regrettably, you know, especially on the small business side, is, you know, we live in a very lawsuit-happy country. And, you know, premise liability and negligent security cases, you know, right now the average settlement in a premise liability case tops over $1.2 million. And,
wow.
You know, when you read through some of the cases to find out what the inadequacies are, you know, it really is focused on security, whether, you know, it was not having, you know, security guards in place, whether it was inadequate lighting, whether there wasn't enough, you know, access control. Actually, I just read an article last night regarding the New Jersey legislature that are, you know, proposing a bill at casinos to mandate video surveillance in stairwells of their properties. Now, you know, talk about an industry that's, you know, highly regulated and probably has, you know, top state-of-the-art video surveillance in the casinos. Now the legislator is getting involved in some of the public places, the non-casino areas of the hotel. So to me, that's a little scary if I'm a business owner that, you know, there's proposals for legislation in place where If a consultant came in and did their risk assessment and kind of identified these potential vulnerabilities, you know, working with the business owners so that, you know, legislatures don't have to get involved in, you know, these type of proposals. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to pass or not, but again, it's just interesting to see, you know, a state legislature involved in this.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the other things that's interesting is business would be smart to have somebody like yourself come in because you're staying on top of it because they're so busy running their businesses that they're usually not privy to things that become common practices and things like that. So they are still, and it's their property, so they're still liable. So they definitely need someone with your services and expertise to come in and bring that to their attention because how you say it's better to be prepared and not need, it's better to need and not have. I mean, to have and not need, and to need and not have?
Yeah, and, you know, I just recently, and I think you had mentioned, I just added HIPAA risk assessment, which is a different type of risk mitigation. But again, my goal is to take the burden off a small medical or dental practice and helping them meet their compliance obligations. If you read through the regulations for HIPAA compliance, it can be extremely daunting task for a small practice to really be able to go through and write up, you know, their risk analysis and have their risk management plans in place. And again, I want to eliminate that burden for these small practices. You know, let me come in and do that type of work for you. I mean, they don't have to hire a consultant. They can certainly do it themselves. But what I bring to the table is obviously the regulatory experience along, you know, with, you know, the security risk mitigation experience. So, again, it's just trying to get out and be proactive, you know, with potential clients.
Right. Plus that by having you, that also helps them because that's a third party, even though you may have been hired by them, to say that this third party came in, did the assessment, and this is what we did. So it's kind of like having your own little expert witness that's on your side.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the HIPAA compliance work, you know, your final product would have to stand up to the scrutiny of a compliance review. And certainly, again, there's no prohibition against the small practice doing it themselves. But I understand the code of federal regulations. You know, again, coming out of government service, it gives you a little clarity to kind of look through what those codes are, trying to interpret what they mean. So when I crafted my, you know, risk assessments, you know, and I wrote it, I mean, it was really based on the Code of Federal Regulations, the CFRs, because if you're going to be subject of a compliance review, I mean, that's what, you know, my former agency is going to go after, you know, when, you know, if the time ever came for that type of review.
Yes, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, the FAR is a very daunting thing. Not only is the FAR very daunting, the FAR has a tendency to change. So, again, you would definitely need someone like Jay to look at the FAR and somebody that's actually going to keep up on it, you know, so that you don't get caught between a rock and a hard place. Go ahead, Jay.
And what I'll say about the HIPAA, you know, risk assessments, and this is really for the world of electronic health records. You know, the bottom line is it is a government requirement. Now, a risk assessment for a small business certainly is not a requirement for them, but on the HIPAA side, it is a requirement. And I think there's probably a lot of confusion, at least some of the practices that I've talked to, in terms of what's required, what's necessary, how do we do this, you know, how do we make ourselves, you know, totally compliant. And what I like to say is I don't think anyone's ever going to get to the point of being totally compliant. The goal is to be able to prove that you're attempting to mitigate your risk. And, again, that's part of, you know, my service is to work with these providers and get them to that place that, you know, if there was some type of data breach of patient records, you have to be able to demonstrate to the government that you've attempted to mitigate your risk. And actually, the way the civil monetary penalties are structured, it's structured like that. There you have a tier approach to your attempt to mitigate your risk and your ability to demonstrate to the government that you've taken all these, you know, corrective and preventable measures, you know, to address this. So, again, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to save these practices, you know, the burden of having to do it themselves.
Right. And like I said, I know that HIPAA is becoming a big thing for a lot of companies right now because of the fact, you know, dentist's offices, doctor's offices, chiropractors, physical therapists, all of the above, because of the fact that these new regulations are coming out, just like the possibility of the other new regulations that you were talking about earlier. So could you tell us how you work with some of the, outside of HIPAA, some of the other companies or residential people to help them to take care of their problems and mitigate
sure.
their
you know,
risks?
You know, when I deal with residential clients, you know, for me, it's about education. It's really about, you know, working with homeowners in creating a proactive security plan for your family. You know, I go through about 60 questions that, you know, part of the survey I do myself, part of it I ask the homeowners. And, you know, it's also about education. You know, I leave some great material with them. But it's, again, getting them in that proactive mindset, things that they need to be doing. And this is in lieu of having a security system in place. A lot of times you think you can call one of these major companies that do alarm installations, and they'll come in and they'll install a system for you, and, you know, you're good to go. And I think that's a small piece of it. I mean, alarms certainly are deterrents for break-ins, but when a home is broken into every 13 seconds in the United States, you know, it has to be more than just an alarm system. So, again, working with my residential clients to get them in the right state of mind, to make sure that they have a plan in place so that, you know, really, that they can make their home, you know, as, you know, I use the word target-hardened as possible. And, you know, if, you know, someone wants to break into a house, let them go to the next house down the street that, you know, that has not availed themselves to my services. And, you know, again, that's my ultimate goal. I mean, I don't want anyone's house broken into, but, you know, if it is one of my clients, I want to do everything I can, you know, to make sure that they're doing everything they can to make their homes as safe and secure as possible.
Well, again, I truly appreciate you. I don't know if you know this or not, but I've got three books out, and all three of my books are titled Positive Self-Defense. One is Positive Self-Defense for Women, one's for men, and the other one's for motorcycle riders. And I'm actually writing a new one now that will be coming out shortly called Positive Self-Defense for Entrepreneurs. And, you know, the reason I mention that is because it seems like it's the hardest thing to me to get people to understand that, you know, okay, I understand you want to protect your finances. I understand you want to protect your wealth. I understand you want to protect your heart, but most people don't really do or know how to protect themselves, and it just is amazing to me, and the mindset. So, you know, my hat's off to you because I already know that it's a challenge getting people to understand the mindset without something crazy happening and then them deciding that now they want to become either proactive or now that something has happened, they want to become, they're now reactive. So, again, kudos to you.
Yeah, and, you know, and I, you know, obviously coming out of the law enforcement arena, you know, I always like to use the Colonel Cooper's, you know, color conditions. And, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about, you know, and obviously with your background, you know about, you know, condition white, where people just are unaware. And, you know, my job is to get them out of that white, and at least into the yellow and, you know, maybe into the orange and maybe not necessarily into the red where, you know, you're always in this, you know, reactionary mindset. But, again, you know, I really preach, you know, no matter what it is, and it's situational awareness, you know, really as my rule of thumb that, you know, you just need to be, you know, more aware of your surroundings, you know, regardless of where you go and what you do. I think in this day and age, regrettably, you know, you can't be in condition white all the time. You have to be, you know, a level or two above that all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In my books, I have a quote, and the quote is, if you don't want to be cast for the part in anyone else's play, don't fit the script. And that goes back to what you were saying about, okay, they're going to choose somebody's house. Let them not choose yours. They're going to choose somebody to do this and this to. Let's not you fit the script so that you don't get cast for the part. I believe that's exactly what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think you need to take your situational awareness into your own hands that, you know, your house could be alarmed. You know, you could do everything proactively, but it really comes down to, you know, what you do. You know, at your residence, in your business, in your life, to really get you out of that condition white and really be in, you know, somewhere between that yellow and that orange, you know, condition where, you know, you just kind of have that I don't maybe sense of urgency a little bit that again, I just go back to that, you know, it's situational awareness.
Yes, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, please understand that we're not preaching doom and gloom. What we're saying is that you need to be prepared, you know, not scared, not running around with your chicken like a chicken with your head cut off, but you need to prepare yourself. You know, you need to do the things necessary so that you don't have to do the things necessary. You know, and I know that you definitely get it, Jay. Jay, could you tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, please?
Sure. You can check out my website at www.collingtonsecurity.com. That's C-O-L-I-N-G-T-O-N security.com. You can also reach me through email, which is info@collingtonsecurity.com. Or I'm available by phone at 800-733-6379.
Okay. And if anybody's got any type of questions or anything like that, or, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that could definitely, you know, that they're fitting some of the things that Jay's talking about, please share the show with them. Let them listen to this. Give them the contact information, but let them listen to the show so that they can get a feel for someone that's got 27 years of experience, someone who's been with different law enforcement bodies, someone who actually has walked the walk and talks the talk, you know. So, again, Jay is the person that you want to go to try to get these things taken care of, be it that you're dealing with HIPAA, risk analysis, small business security assessments, residential security surveys, any of the above. The man's got a plethora of knowledge. Don't let it go to waste, and don't be somebody else's victim. What else would you like to talk with us about today, Jay? Share with
us.
Well,
I'll go back. I just want to go back to kind of what you had touched on, that, you know, this really isn't meant to be, you know, a doom, a gloom. It's really just to get people in that, you know, that proactive mindset. I think sometimes we become very reactionary. And, again, we just want to kind of change that a little bit. And I'll go back to the residential security surveys. And, you know, the analogy that I like to use is, you know, if you purchase a home, you know, that's your single biggest investment. And you probably would never buy a home without having a home inspection conducted. So what I like to say is, you know, after the fact, after you've already purchased it and moved in, why not have a residential security survey done? I mean, think of me as a home inspector when it comes to your security needs. So, you know, just probably, you know, another way of looking at it. You know, one other thing I did want to touch on, if we have a few minutes, and, you know, I think I had mentioned to you in the email, and I've had a couple people ask me over the last couple weeks, you know, is it safe to go to the mall? And obviously in the metropolitan D.C. area, regrettably, we had a shooting at the Columbia Mall probably about a month ago. And people ask me, is it safe? And I think my answer is yes, it's safe. But it goes back to the situational awareness. Really that, you know, it's sad to think in this day and age that, you know, you can't go to the mall without having a plan in place. But if you listen to the experts, the security experts and law enforcement experts, that's what they're telling us, that, you know, have some type of plan in place. I mean, if nothing more, know how to get in and, you know how to get out. You know, and God forbid if something does happen, I mean, you really want to run out of there. You know, that has to be your primary focus, is getting you and your family out of there. And, you know, even if other people aren't following you, when you hear gunshots or you hear screaming, you know, it becomes this you know, chaotic scene, but you want to get out of there as quickly as possible. And obviously, you know, you want to call 911 and let, you know, the authorities know immediately. But, you know, workplace violence, again, I talk to small business owners about workplace violence. You know, it's a sensitive subject, but it's something that now has to be part of the conversation. You know, I talk to small business owners about policies for terminating employees, another uncomfortable subject that small business owners really don't like to, you know, talk about. But, you know, that's regrettably, you have to think about these things in this day and age. That, you know, what's your policy when you terminate somebody? I mean, obviously there's the physical access to the property, but, you know, are you also eliminating their IT access? If you're going to give somebody a couple weeks notice, I mean, you know, you run the risk of someone being able to access your systems, your client lists. So, again, I just work with business owners to kind of think this through, have a policy in place. And the same with workplace violence. I mean, I'm not going to come in and, you know, bring in another subject matter expert to do, you know, a course on workplace violence, but it's something to think about. I mean, it's similar to the fire alarm going off. What's your fire safety program? You know, you can kind of piggyback on that if it comes to, you know, workplace violence or an active shooter situation. So, again, just getting people in that mindset to kind of think these things through.
Totally understand. And that's another really touchy subject. But again, ladies and gentlemen, as Jay was saying, you know, you have to have your situational awareness when you're doing stuff, when you're going back and forth. You know, also, you need to make sure that you're not part of the problem, because that's what happens a lot of times. So when you run out, you also need to assess the area, make sure that what you're running out to isn't worse than what you're running from. But, you know, there's a lot of different pieces that go into this, and that's why you need to talk to a professional like Jay to help you to understand what you think you do but probably don't really understand. So, again, with Collington Security Consultants, LLC, they're there to help you. And, again, you got a true professional and, of course, the president and founder of the company, too, that's going to be speaking to you. All right, Jay, what else would you like to share with us in the last, let's say, 2 minutes? What's your leaving thought?
You know, it was interesting. I've done a lot of travel and worked with some travel safety over my government career. And, you know, we looked at the Olympics and we looked at some of the scare, you know, ahead of time about, you know, potential terrorist attacks. And I, you know, recently pushed out a newsletter in which I provided 10 tips to keep you safe regarding travel safety and security. And that was, you know, regardless of you going to Sochi or any place else in the world. And you'll see a theme here. The number one item on my list was situational awareness. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, whether you're in, you know, downtown L.A. or midtown Manhattan or Fairfax, Virginia, or Sochi, Russia, or Paris, France, you always have to be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, good security practices can ultimately, you know, save your life, you know, in the event something bad really happens. And it's just having that plan in place. You know, when you travel internationally too, you know, I always like to recommend just lower that profile a little bit. You know, you may want to consider utilizing the State Department, they call it the STEP program, which is the Smart Travel Enrollment Program. That's always, you know, it's a free service that the State Department offers in which they'll be able to notify you in the case of emergency. You know, I always throw this interesting stat out that people think that terrorism causes the most deaths of Americans overseas. And the CDC said from 2009 to 2011, more Americans were killed in road crashes than from any other cause. And that was like 27% of the deaths related to road crashes. And, you know, the industry standards for transportation just aren't the same as they are here. And you have a lot of unlicensed, unregulated individuals that are driving taxis or buses. So it's really prudent to do your homework, you know, kind of your advance, so to speak, before you leave the state to try and, you know, possibly identify, you know, a secure means.
Ladies and gentlemen, we lost contact for a second. Jay should be right back with us. Not sure what happened there, but we lost connection. Anyway, as Jay was saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be proactive in what we do, and we have to stop expecting someone to come and save us or something to happen that's going to miraculously, the police are going to come, or miraculously, you know, Superman or Superwoman is going to come to your rescue. You have to be more responsible for what's going on around you, what you're doing, who you're doing it with, where you are, all of these different things. And again, Jay and other professionals like himself are the people that you want to contact or get with to help you to create that proactive plan, to get you to where you have at least a foundation in which you can then build from. Because most of us today, we basically have nothing. We've got no plan, we've got nothing in place, and we're not focused on what it is that we need to do if something happens. So once the crap hits the proverbial fan, you know, and there's crap all over the place, what are we doing? We're crapping ourselves because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to deal with what's going on. And we don't know how to get ourselves and our loved ones out of that situation. So think of it like when you're on a plane. When you're on a plane, what does the stewardess tell you? If the gas mask should come down, put the mask over yourself before you put it over your child or before you put it over an elderly person, because you don't want to become part of the problem. You want to be part of the solution. Plus that, you want to make sure that you have that proactive mindset. Again, if you're looking at the HIPAA stuff and you're looking at the FAR, which are the federal regulations, the CFR, when you're looking at the CFR, are you understanding what's being asked of you? All right, if you're in Virginia and you're looking at the fire codes, I believe Virginia is BOLCA. I think Fairfax is the international fire codes. Are you really understanding what you're looking at, and are you going to be in compliance with those particular things? Again, Jay is someone that can help you in that area when it comes to security, when it comes to safety, when it comes to those things that are going to make you safe and keep you safe and help you keep your loved ones safe. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we can always get another house, we can get another car, we can get another job. However, you are priceless, and I'm sure that I speak quite well for Jay when I say that that's his main concern, helping you to be safe and helping you to keep the people that you care about safe. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show, saying thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on and listening to us. Please share the show. And again, today's show was The Common Sense of Security with Mr. Jay Haas. And Jay Haas is, of course, the president and founder of Covington Security, LLC. Again, this is Zurian Bennett saying thank you. Have a great day, a great life, and I wish you every success. Take care.